We have the privilege, the opportunity to know Him and adore Him. What a gift that is. Happy Advent. You may be seated, and we'll pray in just a bit here. Advent, time of expectancy, anticipation. We talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus, and we can talk about that as the second coming. We can talk about it as the first coming and looking forward to, anticipating, celebrating. You know, it's interesting to me that Advent comes right after Thanksgiving. That's kind of an American thing because of Thanksgiving being an American holiday in that way. But it is appropriate as well because the Thanksgiving is something where we look back. We think about how God has given us, blessed us, been with us through this past year. And then Advent is looking forward. So if we're going to look forward well, we need to look back on what was it that was the right priorities, the right balances of things. So as a family, we went and discussed that as our family time. We're like, so what are you thankful for this past year? And even some of the kids were saying, I'm thankful for my mommy. And some of the things that they were thankful for came from the trials that we have been through. And I think that that is really the point. If we are to expect and put our hope in things for the future in a good way, in a healthy way, we need to put our hope, our anticipation, our expectations on things that matter. And so the trials help purify our motives and our heart and some of that. If we look back and then set our hopes on that which has the values and the priorities, there's so many things that we can't control. We look back and see all the things that we could not control this past year. And we look forward and think, oh, how can I have any hope for something when it's all so uncertain? Your child's room, you can't control what that looks like. What your spouse purchases, you don't know what that's going to be. Maybe your crazy Uncle Rolf at a family gathering, can't control Mr. Rolf. Or COVID or illness or car breakdowns. Your boss, your friends, conversations, lots of things that we can't control. And if we put our expectations on those things, that's going to lead to disappointments, struggles. And so what do you put your hope in that is trustworthy and lasting? Jesus, yes, of course that's the answer. You know, in the Old Testament, they looked forward to the Messiah. They had to wait. If you think about the 400 silent years, they're waiting, waiting and waiting. When is the Messiah coming? And then if you think back before that millennium, from Genesis all the way forward, as they had the promise of a Messiah that's going to come, and then he comes. Jesus is here. And then, well, what's he going to do? Is he going to heal? Is he going to, you know, is he going to take over the Romans? Is he going to, there's this wondering, what can we put our hope in? Now we have this anticipation of what is coming. We look forward to Jesus' second coming. And then that it's got to be soon. Look at all the things going on around us. We can put our expectation, our hope in all of that. But maybe if I can encourage you to not wait for the future, but put your expectation, your hope for today on Jesus. He gives hope. So what kind of hope does he give? You know, that's kind of the obvious question. What can we really expect in our daily life? How does he fulfill those hopes and dreams and all that? Well, we're going to look at that. But notice as we read this text from 1 Peter, that Peter had that expectant hope and just overflowing joy as he was looking forward to and anticipating. So, let's read together here. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. So Starts out with a blessing. You think about Thanksgiving that way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, our ears to hear your word and apply it to our lives. Thank you for giving us your word that we can put our hope in something that is confident and trustworthy. In your name I pray. Amen. So, anticipate Jesus because he gives hope. What kind of hope? Well, this text starts out right there in verse 3 with a living hope. It says, verse 3, he says, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, it would be pretty sad commentary if the whole Christian church is following after a person that did not rise from the dead. It wouldn't be kind of not much to be celebrating. But we have a living Savior, a living hope. The cross couldn't hold him. Death couldn't stop him. The grave couldn't contain him. He is a living, all-powerful God. Jesus is alive. You know, that in itself is a reason for hope. My grandson loves animals, one of them. And so he has stuffed animals. He has animal toys, but his favorite is to go and find pets. Doesn't really matter as long as it's moving. It's still fun to play with. So it could be bugs, it could be frogs, toads. Some of those aren't especially welcomed into the house, but he loves playing with them. Live things. What is this? It's a living hope. Not only that, but he causes us to be born again. It's not only that he's alive, but he causes us to be alive. He's a living Savior, wants to live within us, wants to be active in our lives. So born again, what does that really mean? Well, how do you describe that? Well, it means the old is gone, dead. It means that God has plans for you. He has a purpose. He has more for you than you can see. Means you're not alone. He's walking alongside, doing life with you. He has a purpose. We have freedom in Christ. He gives us opportunities to love one another, serve one another, live together in community. Living hope. He lifts us up, carries us, meets us in our darkness. He shines light into our lives. He answers prayer. He fulfills promises. He changes hearts. Gives us a reason to live. Yeah, living hope. Not only that, verse 4 continues. It describes an eternal hope. Verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Imperishable, undefiled, unfading. You know, just think of, I saw recently on YouTube was a video of a family. They had Their TV had broken, and so they went out on Black Friday and bought a new TV, and they decided to put their old TV in the new box. And then they put it out on the porch, and somebody came and picked it up for them, so they didn't have to take it away. I'm sure they would have been surprised. Eternal hope. Are there things that we put our hope in that are temporary and temporal? And God's promises are confident assurance. Just the description of that, imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven. Where else could it be kept? I have some friends, Nate and Rhoda Jory. I may have mentioned some of this before, but anyway, they were, about a year and a half ago, they were robbed in their house. And the night before that robbery, they were having a devotion, and their devotion, Lord, if there's anything that needs, you need to purify for us. I'm like, man, you guys have got guts to pray something like that. So then, that very night, early in the morning, 2, 3 in the morning, glass breaking, people coming in, rushing into their house, all that kind of drama. And they took cell phones, money, computers, even their children's bike. Lots of drama that went along with that, but no one was injured. And when it was all done, their daughter Julia said, well, now I know that the only thing I really need is Jesus. Like, oh man, girl, I've got some things to learn from you. We were sitting around the table describing and discussing some of this. As they were memorizing this very scripture as a family, fitting text to remember and put to memory, because everything else in this world is temporary and temporal. And it was shortly after we had left that they were robbed again. And they continue to hold things loosely. So hope is a goal of something we look forward to, anticipate. Now the question is, what are those goals that are in your mind and heart? Are they things that will degrade, devalue, as it describes in this text, imperishable, defiled? Or say, are they permanent? Are they eternal? Too many of mine are things that break, and we need a hope that is beyond the things of this world. Third, powerful hope, verse 5. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So, first, whom is the referring to? First of all, it is us. We are the ones that are being caused to be born again. We are the ones that God is guarding. Can you imagine God standing at the door of your life, and anybody that wants to talk to you has to talk to him first? Hello, who would you like to speak to? I'd like to speak to Pastor Kevin. And what would you like to talk to him about? Well, this. All right, you're allowed. That's a pretty vivid image of God's watchfulness over us in our lives. You know, if we could get our minds around the fact that God is protecting, guarding like that, then what is going to cause anxiety? I mean, everything is handled in that one thought. But we do get anxious. Oh, we get anxious. We get anxious because we're afraid. We're not in control. We want things to go a certain way. God is directing things to go a different way. Maybe we want him to protect us from earthly things or painful things, difficult things. But he probably loves you too much to protect you from all that. Allows those challenges because they are what we need growing us. His power guards us in ways that we can't see. Temptations that are overcome. Brokenness that is repaired and restored. Weakness that reveals His strength. Our failures become His forgiveness. Powerful hope. Because it's in Him. It's not in us. You know, if it was about us, then we would be pretty weak. But it's confidence in Him, what He has done. It's an unshakable faith. And it's genuine. Verse 6. Number 4 is in verse 6. It says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus." There's a video series out there called The Truth Project, and it goes through a whole bunch of different things of our educational topics. But one of the things that they use in their statement throughout the video series, how do you know if what you believe is really real? How do you know if what you believe is really real? And the obvious answer is you have to test it. We don't like tests. Right now we're coming up on the end of the semester. Poor college-age students or high school students, they're facing those exams. I remember praying one year, it was actually in seminary, I was praying, "Lord, I think it's about time for you to come back right now," because I knew the consequences of the test. We're not going to reveal a positive outcome. And it was true. And the result of that was you just need to take that class again. You're just a little slower to learn than the average person, Kevin. So it's an opportunity. Tests are difficult. They are hard. But they reveal that which is needed. We could just go along as, you know, pretending there's nothing wrong. That'd be worse, not knowing what the situation is in our lives. God's Word is that which reveals the inside of our hearts. Now, you have a few choices. You can read it and learn what God has, the message He has for us, or, you know, we can ignore it, or we can pick and choose. You know, so if you have one of those engine lights, those annoying engine lights on your car, not the tire light, because those you just fill up the tire and you're good. But the engine light, it can have like 1,000 different reasons for that light going on. So my solution for those, when I see those, is I just start changing parts. Oh, that didn't fix it. Try another one. Oh, that didn't fix it. Probably be cheaper if I brought it to somebody and let them diagnose the real problem and fix it correctly. A friend of mine, his solution for that is to just a little black piece of electrical tape, covers that up, can't see it, doesn't bother you again. You know, that is the situation. We can allow God's Word to reveal, shine its light into our lives, or we can set aside. Tests, trials. They reveal what is true and right. They reveal what is genuine. Doubt is not the failure of faith. It is an opportunity for faith to be revealed. Question is, where do you turn in the midst of those questions? Do you turn to God? "Lord, answer this. Answer me. Show me." Or do you turn away and say, "Ah, I knew you were not real." As a family, we've gone through a fair bit of testing these last months. It's quite a bit of a test. Some of them have been on the prayer chain, some not. But doctors having the electrical paddles for my daughter-in-law three times, not having to use them, but that's a test. Son going sepsis over in Africa and with little or no health care to carry him through that time. He'll be landing here in Minneapolis at about 2:30 today, so that's a real answer to prayer as well. And then there's minor things that you go through. But through it all of it, what is the result of the test? Does it prove to be genuine? Do you see God's power protecting and carrying? Do you see that it's an eternal value? Do you see that He is a living God, a living hope? So 2 months ago, we sent our son Andrew a birthday card. It takes a while to get there, and we knew that, so we were... And so he gets it after all of the things that he's gone through. And on that card, it has this poem I'd like to read for you. It's called The Mighty Oak. A mighty wind blew night and day. It stole the oak tree's leaves away, then snapped its boughs and pulled its bark until the oak was tired and stark. But still the oak tree held its ground while other trees fell all around. The weary wind gave up and spoke. How can you still be standing, oak? The oak tree said, I know that you can break each branch of mine in two, carry every leaf away, shake my limbs and make me sway. But I have roots stretched in the earth, growing stronger since my birth. You'll never touch them, for you see, they are the deepest part of me. Until today, I wasn't sure of just how much I could endure. But now I've found, with thanks to you, I'm stronger than I ever knew. I don't know what your hope has been based on. I am sure that there have been disappointments, disillusionments. Maybe it's people, maybe it's even God. Anticipate Jesus. He gives real hope, living hope. Not only that He's living, but He lives, can live within us. An eternal hope, something that is lasting beyond the temporary of this world. Powerful hope, the whole power of God. Genuine, the real deal. I hope that even right now, if your hope has been wavering, you're wondering, what can I even look forward to? Put your hope in Him. Yeah. Let's close in prayer. Almighty Jesus, we thank you and praise you for who you are. Lord, you know the struggles of the hearts that are listening. You know the disappointment, disillusionment, fears. But, Lord, your word, it shines into our lives. Your word reveals Jesus. And in that, in Him, we have a living hope, something that is far beyond the temporalness of this world, something that is powerful beyond our own strength. And it's real. Oh, Father, I pray that you would be prompting all of us to pray in our own hearts, turning to you,
that we may say yes to you,